He's told me for long.
Hello from the other side.
Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hour of Enlightenment with co-host Michelle Gray. You can see her information in the blog talk box, but also when this is a YouTube, it'll be in the description box. And we are going to talk with my beloved baby boy about dream interpretation. And he's going to give you're going to give us some tips about how to lucid dream, right, Eric?
Yep, Eric says, hi, everybody. He's like, hi, mama.
Hi,
love you.
Love you, mama.
I love you. Yes, he's very excited. And I was just telling you, Elisa, and I'll share it with everybody, that when a lot of times I ask Eric to give me the topic and I don't always get it right at first. So sometimes I have to go around and do some other things and then it'll pop in my head. And so I asked him yesterday morning and I was folding some towels. And all of a sudden I hear that song going, oh, Dreamweaver. And I'm singing it in my head before I realize. I'm like, oh, right. Okay, we're going to do dreams.
We're going to do dreams.
It is really cool. And it's a really interesting topic because Eric says, he goes, you know, guys, this is like, which is reality? Which is it? Is it the one that we're in right now? Or is it the one when we close our eyes? Which one is more real? Because he says when we start to learn from our dreams, and this I didn't know, he said we can heal from our dreams, so we can use lucid dreaming to heal. He says that it's good to face fears. We can work with PTSD. We can work with our emotions and even issues within family and friends. So many different things that we can do, but he says what he wants to focus on is to really help everybody be able to identify, and he's going to have me use a couple of things that have happened to me as an example, because he says a lot of people that are listening are dreamers. They do get a lot of information in dreams.
Yeah.
And he says, and if you're one that is listening that says, oh, I never have dreams, he goes, you do.
Yeah.
He goes,
that's
you
do. My daughter Annika thinks she never has dreams, but
yeah.
We know she does.
He's like, no, everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does. He goes, but, you know, there are reasons. He goes, there are actually people that have that function. Not that it's not there, he says, but say dial down or turn down because they're meant to focus in another way.
Huh?
Or for one reason or another, they might have a lot going on in their life. And he goes, and there might be different points of your life that you can remember. Like, yeah, I didn't dream. I don't remember that part of my life. But I've been an avid dreamer since I was a kid.
I bet.
Remember
is that
flying
true?
when I was a kid.
Of most channelers, is that true, you think, Eric?
Eric says yes.
Yeah.
He says yes, especially for as children. My first experience remembering, he's showing me some images here. And I remember flying, and I remember being so excited, and I couldn't have been more than 5 or 6 years old,
yeah.
And I was so excited, and I had strawberry shortcake bedding, so I remember looking at that strawberry shortcake pillowcase, and I just smacked my head down, and I knew if I laid, I remember thinking this, if I laid my head down on the pillow with my face flat like this, the pressure on my head would all of a sudden make colors start going.
Wow.
I'd start to see colors. And so I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand it or anything, but I would just do it and put my head down. And then all of a sudden I'd see like a screen popping up and I was flying and I was right in it. I don't remember like storylines or anything else like that, just little bits and pieces. But I had a reoccurring dream. And Eric just says that reoccurring dreams are actually a lot of times, he says we can have a combination of being in an altered state, being in an alternate dimension. But he said that it also is our subconscious or repressed emotions trying to come up and notify us. Because we might be repressing something in our day-to-day life.
Yeah, it sounds like ding, ding, ding. Pay attention. It sounds like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, you know, there's a combination. It goes like your dreams, and it can be all at once. He goes, we might only be bringing back, say, a few memories from something, but we may have had a memory of a reoccurring dream, but at the same time, we were traveling. We were talking to our guides. He says, we're multidimensional, guys.
Yeah,
we do all kinds of things. He says, when that mind part goes to sleep, when the body's at rest, he he says the spirit is at play and it's joining back in with the higher self and making all kinds of arrangements and visits and all kinds of things. So
uploading information too?
Yes.
And visiting deceased loved ones? Like, do I ever visit you in a lucid, in a dream, Eric?
He says, Mom, we talk about what we're doing. He goes, sometimes what you're doing with the scalar work, you not only meet with Eric, but there's other members of the divine team that you sit and meet with.
Wow.
So he says, we go over things together. Like, he's showing it like a meeting.
Wow.
Like, sitting together, we go over things together. He says, we talk about the future plans. And he says, and you bring back a lot of the information that you're about to do, like things that you come across, that you discover.
Yeah.
He says a lot of that's downloaded into you through the nighttime.
Cool.
And then it starts to come out into your reality.
Awesome.
In the weeks afterwards. So, yeah. So he says, so what about dream interpretation? He says, so, all right, so you're having all kinds of dreams. He goes, now, what can you do to amp those dreams up and really gather a lot of information from it? Because he goes, you know, in your waking life, there's all kinds of information coming out from the universe. So you're getting it in your dream state as well. So he says the number one thing he recommends that everybody does is keep a little notebook or a little pad beside your bed with a pen or a pencil and have it there at all times. He goes, don't rely on opening up your phone or getting on anything else. He goes, immediately when you wake up, he says, if you can remember the colors that you saw, any specifics that stand out, a person, he says, because over the course of waking up, when you get up out of the sleep state, he goes, there'll be some things you might remember, but a lot of times we lose it. And he goes, how many times have you gone through the day that you said, oh, I know I had a dream about something, but I can't quite remember what it was.
All the time.
Like, you just can't put your finger on it. He goes, now sometimes you can ask guides too and say, you know, can you give me a trigger? Show me something that's going to remind me of my dreams. And that does work. That does work. But he says it doesn't always come out as clear because you know, when you first wake up, you might really remember the last words that you heard.
And then it fades. Yeah, it fades.
Yeah.
It's like, I have a post-it note, but it's like, oh God, I got to remember to get Cascade dishwashing pods, you know, things like that. So I need to start using it for dreams, I guess.
This has to be, he says, this has to be dedicated to your dream state, because he says, consider that your dream state is just as important. It's just as important of a reality because you're getting information that's going to help you with your day-to-day life. Now he goes, now keep in mind too, he goes, you want to keep yourself grounded in your day-to-day life, but use this to be able to supplement the information. He goes, don't let it scare you, because he's going to talk about prophetic dreams. And he says a lot of mediums, a lot of psychics have had that or an ability, some more than others, that get prophetic dreams, and they're scary or they feel scary because the human part of us doesn't always want to see certain things or know certain things in advance.
Yeah.
And what he's talking about is when I was a kid, and this is like my dream state was very strong, and I would get a lot of dreams about family members that were going to cross or people that were close to us, right? So I knew as a pattern that, you know, if I saw somebody in a dream, and one example was my great aunt was like, I mean, she was fine. She was doing well, but her husband, who had passed years before, showed up in my dream, and he walked up to me and took my hand, and he walked me down a hallway, like a corridor, and there were many, many doors, and he knocked at every door, just went and knocked, and then he got to this one door and opened it up, and it was her apartment. So he was showing me, and he didn't say anything to me, but I knew he was showing me that he was coming to get her.
Oh, wow.
And so 2 days later, we got the phone call that she passed away.
I mean, she was totally fine. So,
And just things like that,
those
type of dreams, sometimes it would be a dream like somebody would just show up and I'd see them. It may have been somebody I hadn't seen for years, and then we'd find out. You know?
Well, I don't want this. Can we just say, don't give me any of that shit? Can we do that?
Well, we can, but he says, like, here's the thing. He says, and this is true for me, what kept me away from delving deeper into my own abilities was fear. because I was terrified of hearing something that I couldn't undo.
Yeah.
Because I felt some responsibility. Now, Eric says information is power, awareness is power. When you start to understand what it means, because yes, sometimes we do have those dreams. And he says it's kind of like when somebody says, I'm clairvoyant. I want to open up my clairvoyance more and more. And he says, and you're saying, well, I only want to see the happy stuff. Yeah. I don't want to see anything that might bother me. He goes, well, here's kind of the thing. He goes, it's kind of hard to pick and choose.
Yeah.
You can't really pick and choose. Mm-mm. Yeah. So he says it's like a state of acceptance and surrender for us too. So for me, once I understood that, you know, it wasn't necessarily something scary, and I understood, was more grounded, he says, yes, and had more information as I went along, that I had more peace towards this. So when I would see it, it wasn't something I would always share with other people either. And he says that's the other thing, you know, we might see things or know things that we're not going to tell somebody. And it's just for ourselves.
Yeah,
because
hey, guess what? Your mom's going to die, you know.
Yeah, you don't do that. And he says, he's actually, we were in a session today and somebody actually came across with something like that and just said, you know, they knew some information, but what their guide had told them was, is this really information that's going to help any situation if you tell that person? And so Eric was just saying, so you ask, is it going to help? Is it going to make things better? And if it's really not, keep it to yourself.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we do get those types of things.
Yeah.
He says other things are, we can get warnings. We can get information that will help us make a decision, that will help us. So another example is my daughter that was on the motorcycle accident.
Yes. She's doing okay, right?
She's doing great.
Good.
But
good.
Just shortly after that, she had a stalker.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a guy that was following her around, and she was somewhat friendly with him to a degree, but it started to get a little bit weird.
Yeah.
And he showed up at her work one day, and it was not a very good situation, and he was asked to leave.
Yeah.
And then I had a dream this one night, and in the dream it was of this great big black and orange anaconda, and it was on my front step. Mm-hmm. And I was holding all of these puppies. And as I was holding the puppies, I knew this anaconda was down here, and one of the puppies slipped from under my arm and went, and I started to panic because I couldn't find the puppy, and I was so scared that the anaconda was going to eat it. So I woke up that morning, and I remember being like, boy, that was really weird, and I knew it had meaning because it was so strong, you know, but I kind of, you know, I went about my day and didn't really think too much of it, and I know that it'll come to me. Like, I'll get the information. I don't really need to keep focusing on it. What ended up happening was that particular day, this guy showed up at our door, and it was a bit of a scene. And that's all I'll say about that. But what was so interesting,
find the puppies.
He came up in a motorcycle that was orange and black.
Wow. Be quiet, babies. Come on.
So it was shocking. Wow. It was shocking. And so, but that was they were just affirming, like, this is not a good situation. Mm. Protect the puppies. So that was something that I didn't, and this often does happen. And Eric says many people that have a lot of these type of dreams will know this, that sometimes we don't get the information until afterwards. But he says when you practice with it, you go with a feeling. You don't always know because they speak in metaphor. We get a lot of metaphors and images and symbols. So he says if you don't know exactly what the symbol means, and he says you can Google it. You can. He says there's all kinds of meanings. You can Google it up.
Well, why do you have to use symbols, guys? I mean, why can't you just say in whatever language a person speaks, just, okay, look, this is going to happen, blah, 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 and be careful. This is what you need to do. Take cautions. Why can't they just do that?
He says, well, for the same reason of why it doesn't come out that way in our conscious, in our waking time, because it's emotional. He says we're not speaking with language. So sometimes things do come out with words, or many people will say that they get it, like telepathic.
Yeah.
That they see somebody and they just get the message and then they know. So that does happen, but he says it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it is a warning or it's guidance or it's a lookout or when this comes up, you're going to know to turn left.
Okay.
It's something like that. But he says this is why you want to pay attention to it and pay attention to how it made you feel. Because he's saying, Michelle, how did it make you feel when you were standing at your front door? And I said, well, it made me feel like I need to protect.
Yeah.
Like I was scared and I need to protect. And then he says, well, now that you had that dream and then you saw the experience, I know that it was important about my front door and they were making an important sign about the snake and the color of the snake. So he says, write those things down. Keep them in your dream journal because when something else comes up, you're going to recognize the feeling. You're going to recognize
exactly.
a symbol. Because
yeah.
the thing is, he says, your guides and your loved ones are going to know that you are decoding these. He goes, when you're paying attention, just like when you're speaking to your spirit guides, when there's a language happening.
Yeah, yeah, you're
goes,
sort
you're
of learning how to,
them.
Being trained how to translate your, you know, emotional language, I guess.
Yes, yes. So he says it's important and valuable to be able to have this. And I was just showing you, Elisa, before, and we had this, Paula was here a while back when we did those mini documentary series. So she had me flag all of these at that time. But I was looking back at these today with Eric because there was all kinds of dreams that I had and that Eric just had me like write down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like the channeling Eric and like all the different dreams that I had with Eric and with many other people. And it was valuable and still is. And it's so much fun to look back and
yeah, you
nowadays,
and I were going over your notes, and it's just incredible.
It is.
How
it
prophetic.
Really is.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he says, so do that for yourself.
Yeah.
Lucid dreaming, too. So Eric just says, okay, so let's talk for a minute about lucid dreaming. He says, what is lucid dreaming? He goes, well, that's when you're having an experience that is like being awake in the dream, like having more control over yourself and your environment. So he says
so are you just a higher level of conscious awareness? That's basically it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because he says what happens is it lucid dreaming tends to happen in the beginning of our sleep, so the REM part
REM,
of our sleep,
right?
So he says it's like when the body starts to fall asleep but the consciousness like you're not really asleep, but you're not really awake. So he says, you know that in-between state when you're waking up in the morning, when you feel like, oh, I know I need to get up, but then you start to
I hate that
back
feeling.
Into the dream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, he says, so you can do that falling asleep. Now, he actually says the best time to do it is to train yourself either by alarm clock to wake up earlier than what you normally get up. So if you normally get up at 6, he says, can you set your alarm for 4?
Oh,
and he
God,
says,
no.
And so what you do is you just keep your eyes closed and you shut your alarm off just to get the noise off and you keep your eyes closed and let your body go back to sleep.
Hmm.
But you keep your mind awake. So he says, get a focus point. Just keep focusing up here. Just keep looking up here. And he says, and just let your body fall back asleep. Because that is a state that will be easiest for you to slip into a lucid dream. And he's like, well, why is that? Because you've already had sleep for the night. You're already in a relaxed state. You're not trying to force anything and you're tired.
True.
So your body's going to just fall back
into
that
state. That's a great
idea.
Great idea.
Yeah. So he says that's the time that you want to play with it. And he's so right because that is where I have my best adventures is at that time.
Awesome.
That is my favorite time and sometimes my only alone time throughout the day, but that's another story.
I know what you mean girl
Yeah, but and Eric's the same thing. He says keep a logbook. He says you can do other things as well. So he says that you got to be careful because when you start doing this and when you keep practicing it, you can get really good at it. And he says, and there's a lot of fun you can have with it, but this is where you can also change your environment. He says you can do things like he's showing me going surfing. Like if you haven't surfed before, well, pick up a surfboard. And he says, so it's like waking up in a dream. So at first when you're doing this, He says, you might find it more like it's happening to you. But he says, if you can keep practicing being in that awake state, he says, have like a, whether you're thinking of a purple lamp, like set an intention to see a purple lamp or see an apple, something that you can see, that you can touch, that you can remember. And he goes, and now here's the other thing. He goes, try to choose something that's actually in your home that you do see every day. Because when you're in your waking state, you glance at it, purposely glance at it during the day. So he says, if it's your purple lamp, he goes, then as you walk by your purple lamp, just think of that in your head that you're going to see that in your dream tonight.
Oh, wow.
So he says that'll help you connect in that state. Is there anything else about lucid dreaming? He's just going into, again, about healing, how we can use the lucid state for healing, PTSD, where we can put ourselves in situations that maybe, you know, if we're afraid of spiders.
Oh, yeah.
Put ourselves in a room that has spiders, or he's actually showing like a big spider with little boots on and a top hat.
No.
He's like, you know, you can sit and have a conversation with the spider and get comfortable with it. So he says there's a lot of different things that you can do. And he's also suggesting one other thing, which is using tones, using frequency to go into the dream state. So binaural beats.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
Those are great.
Like, there's a lot of great stuff on YouTube that you can find that has different types of guided lucid dreams or astral traveling.
Oh, God.
Which astral traveling is another thing altogether. But, yeah, there's tons. There's
I remember
tons.
Michelle, his older sister, cohorts in crime. She was so afraid of sharks, you know, when she was little, like 4 or 5 years old. And so every night before she went to bed, I said, okay, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to see this shark. Oh my God. Okay. And then I want you to make it turn into a ballerina with a tutu on it. And then y'all are dancing together. And it worked. She never was afraid anymore of, so you can remember that, dream about that.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah. Eric says that there's a lot of amazing things that we can do. And like, I look forward to my dream state. I really do. It is a little bit of an escape because it's a nice just kind of just for me, and I can slip into another world that nobody else can bother me in. You know, so I really like that.
I know.
But Eric says, you know, you want to be careful too, because he says sometimes we can blend realities. And so it's really important to,
to distinguish.
It's important to distinguish. And he says, and to remind yourself of, you know, this is the reality I'm grounded in. It's the reality that I'm focused in. And he says, where that could be a problem is if somebody is in a lot of grief or depression or anything else like that, because it becomes more comfortable being in that state than staying in the physical world.
Yeah,
so he says, you want to be careful with that. But he says, enjoy it. And you can use it like a therapy, as another tool in your toolbox.
How?
Oh, as a therapy?
Yeah.
Well, he says, writing. He says, by using like a journal, having a dream log.
Dreams itself. How can you use your dream state for healing? No, Bella.
He says, you know, if you get practiced enough that you're creating an environment for yourself, he says, like what we were talking about with the spiders and everything, but he says, the other things are when you have dreams or you have experiences in the lucid state, he says you want to, if you want to use it as a form of therapy, as he said, write, use it as a writing point. He says, how did you feel? How did seeing a certain loved one make you feel?
Yeah.
What came up in you? And he says, and write, just write from it. Because he says the very cathartic, and another, a different way, another way to express and discharge our energy.
I like that. Can you use your dream state to manifest? Like, okay, I'm going to, in my lucid dream, practice interviewing for this promotion. The interview is tomorrow, or you know, things like that. Or I want to learn Taekwondo. Let me download information when I'm in my dream state. Whatever. What can you do?
Yes. And he says, so what he wants people to remember is set that intent before you go to sleep. Now, you might wake up and be like, well, I set that intent, and I don't remember learning any of that stuff. And he goes, but it was downloaded to you.
Ooh,
it's
nice.
It's within you. It's within your auric field. So he says, you have that much power. Believe it. Because that is how powerful you are.
That's pretty cool. What up, Eric?
Muscles.
Oh, manifesting those big dukes.
Yeah. He goes, have fun with it. Have fun with it. And he says, and, you know, do your best to not set expectations.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's
a killer right there.
Yeah. He says, be patient with yourself. And he says, and just roll with it. He goes, you're closing your eyes every night anyway.
That's true. Eric, say hi to Bella. She's being very naughty, barking at the little kids that are playing in the street or trying to, growling.
She's going like this to her ears and going, do-do-do-do-do.
Bella.
Say hi, Bella.
Hi, baby. Say hi.
Hi.
Okay.
Bella looks just like my mom's dog, Delco.
Delco.
He's just a little guy.
Yeah. Oh. Okay, maybe y'all can get together. Okay, so, yeah, you want to take callers then?
Yeah, Eric says, let's go, Mom. Let's go. I'm ready.
Okay, one thing I want to start with is a dear friend, Terry B, T-E-R-R-I, lost her son, Evan, a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And, I would just like to know, Eric, how his transition, or maybe you can bring Evan forward, how his transition was like, if he's with you. And what happened? Was it an accidental overdose or purposeful or?
Evan's here with Eric. Eric says he was with him. He also shows Evan with flowers. I can see Evan's arms. And he's got yellow flowers for his mom, little yellow flowers. He's taking responsibility. What he's saying is that although it wasn't his intention to go at this time, it was like there was a part of him that didn't care.
Okay.
That didn't care. Even though he's taking responsibility, Eric is saying it was an accident.
Okay. All right. Was it an exit point? A potential exit point?
Eric says yes, it was an exit point, but it was maybe a little quicker.
Is it an earlier exit point?
It is, because what Eric is showing me is a longer length of time that he had.
Oh, okay.
So okay. It's like he shortened it.
By a lot or just a little? Can you get them out? Okay. Is he doing okay, though?
Yeah, he's doing okay. He's getting a lot of compassion. Eric says that he knows that he has a whole new start, he's renewed.
Okay.
There is some... Eric's calling it like some like completion, like some healing from this life that's still occurring.
Okay.
And also that so Evan is going to be very soon is going to be coming to his mother, and actually in dream.
Oh, okay, good.
If that hasn't happened already. Because it feels right at that line.
Yeah. All right. Teach them some of your tricks, Eric. All right. Let's go on with callers. Got somebody from these five. 461 area code.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, you must have it on speaker because I hear myself echoing.
I do. Hold on. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's great.
Okay. Hi, Elisa.
Hello. Who are we speaking with?
This is Maddie, and I'm in Florida.
Hi.
Thank you for holding space for this. You're always so with your questions.
Oh, you're sweet. So what you got for us?
Okay, so I want to ask about promotions at work.
Okay. Eric, what do you think? Are you going to have a promotion at work? Is that what you want to know?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so Eric says to you that you have a little intuition on this, is what he's saying first of all. And so he's saying yes to you.
Ooh. Is she going to be happy with it? It's going to be good?
He's calling it expected. So is this something that you know about?
Or expecting anyway? Uh-oh. Oh. Oh, I think we lost her. I saw somebody drop a call. All right, well, so anyway, but she knows she's going to get it. So that's
yeah.
Good. She can call back in and ask if she wants. Okay, we've got somebody from the 732 area code. Hello.
Yay. Hi, everyone. This is Melissa from Manchester.
Hi, Melissa. What's up?
Hi. Boy, there were so many things I don't know what to ask for. Maybe the one that's pressing. I was doing the intermittent fasting. That worked out pretty good for me. I lost 45 pounds. Started to gain a little bit weight back. Now I'm going to attempt to do the carnivore diet. And I hear so many people saying how healthy they are from doing that, how much weight they've lost, etc., except I did blood work before I attempted to do this because I am in cahoots with my doctor. I'm telling him, you know, this is what I want to do. He's all for it. But my cholesterol is high. And what I basically want to ask Eric is, Eric, I know there's new studies coming out saying that maybe cholesterol does not cause heart disease or that I'm going to have a heart attack at 50. So can I guess I'm asking his blessing. Is carnivore the way for me to go?
What do you think, Eric? But, yeah, I've heard those studies, too. And I've also heard that a lot of these anti-cholesterol medications really don't have any effect on morbidity and mortality for cardiovascular disease. That maybe one.
That's what I've been hearing as well. Yeah, that's what I've been hearing as well.
Yeah.
Eric says that's true. That's true. And he says that's some more that we're going to find out on. There's some other things around that as well, but medications that aren't exactly doing what we think they're doing, or problems that with cholesterol that really aren't accurate, he's saying. What he's saying to you about the carnivore diet is he says he would recommend adding something more to it, because he says that a carnivore diet is not a perfect match for you.
To add what?
He's actually saying to look for your blood type.
Okay.
Diet for your blood type would be better for you. Are you having stomach issues?
Well, when you do the carnivore, it does give you diarrhea. But other than that, no. I mean, I did have a mammogram that just came back that's saying that my right breast is showing up something. But for some reason, I'm not concerned about that. I feel
I'm not getting anything about that. But
good.
When you started to talk about the carnivore diet, my whole stomach started to flare up. So
so maybe something with it, probiotics or something?
Yeah, I would be cautious of that. Eric is just saying to you know, you can give it a try. He's not saying that it wouldn't be successful for you, but it just feels like it's not compatible. Like it just would not be your best diet. Do explore your blood type and a diet for your blood type, like specific foods for it.
That's perfect. He says,
and remember, you can alter that too.
Yeah.
So you could have a carnivore diet and maybe have a little something else added into it
as well. You don't have to,
play around with it.
Right.
I do love to fast, and I could probably go many days without eating. Can I do that?
I wouldn't recommend that. We probably should. Yeah.
He just said that's better for short term. Don't do that long term.
All right. Thanks, Melissa, for calling.
Thank you. Love you guys. Mwah.
Love you too. Mwah back. Okay. She's a wonderful regular. All right. 636 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, everybody. This is Alyssa from Missouri. Alyssa, I actually had messaged you on Instagram. I had my baby around the same time you had your daughter had her baby.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm just calling in. Oh, my gosh. She has colic and acid reflux, so it's been a doozy. But you know what? We're almost at 3 months, so we're almost over that hump. So mama's surviving.
Mm.
Just trying to see, on the topic of dreams, I've had some experiences where I'm lucid in my dream and I'm actually talking to my mother, and we've identified that we both understand that she's passed, and I'm like, hey, this is weird. I know you're, you know, on the other side, and she's like, yeah, I know. So I'm just trying to see if that's me and my imagination or if that's like a real connection. Also,
was there
Eric and my mother.
Was there any question as to whether she had died?
I just, you know, we just the moment, and we just like held hands, and she just told me she was okay. And, she kind of tried to act coy and was like trying to pretend everything was fine, but I'm like, hey, you know, you're dead.
Okay. But,
but it was very brief.
Is it a known death? She actually, everybody knew she died, or was there a mystery about whether she was alive or not?
No, like we all know, like she had passed back in April of 2022. So yes, the death has been known.
She's here. Just to tell you, I can feel her here and feel her energy come in. It's very real. Very real.
That's awesome.
Wow. Yeah. And then just wanted to see if Eric or my mom had any messages about my new addition to the family. Any advice?
Peace is on its way. Sleep is on its way.
Yes.
your mom said that, so when you lay the baby down, does the baby like being on her stomach?
I haven't tried that. I've been really nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe just hold, because what your mom is showing me is like holding the baby over on its stomach. And I'm sorry, is it a girl?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Holding her over on her stomach, like while you're holding her, and just kind of
moving
her a little bit.
I just did the football. Yeah, I did the football hold last night, and it quieted her and calmed her down.
Great.
That's your mom is showing. So she's with you. And by showing you that is letting you know that she was with you as you did that. So,
that's
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Congratulations to your daughter. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, they're changing the probiotics that you should give kids now. I can't remember. It's a different kind of, it's not lactobacillus. It's something else. You might want to look it up because I recommended it to my daughter for her last baby, and it worked like a charm. All right, let me see. Can't remember the name of it because it's very complicated and long. 213 area code. Hey there, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi. Who are we speaking with, and how can we help you?
I'm not sure if it's me.
Yeah, it's you. 213 area code,
okay.
Right?
Oh, okay, because usually it says I'm muted before it does that.
Oh.
Okay. In September 2019, I normally can't remember my dreams, but I woke up. I had a pad by my bed, and I woke up, and I wrote down 6 numbers. And I thought maybe they were lottery numbers or something. So I want to ask Eric what those numbers were for. It was September 4th, 2019.
So September 4th, 2019, those are the numbers that you wrote down or the...
No, there were 6 numbers.
Was it
a single digit or double digit or a mix or what?
Some were double digits, and I was able to figure out which lottery it corresponded to because one of the numbers was 70,
okay.
And there's only one lotto in my state that contains a number that high.
Okay.
Okay, so Eric says they are numbers towards a, have you been asking for numbers? Because they are lottery numbers. And, but what he's saying is that that was a sign to let you know to play the lottery. It's not that those were winning numbers, because he's saying it's about, it's not really about the numbers. It's about you knowing that you're going to win. It's matching vibrationally as a winner, not necessarily the numbers.
So you don't have to play those numbers. You just play the lotto and maybe you have a big chance.
And there's something about that date as well. Something about the day of the week. Look to what the day of the week comes back around again, to what day of the week that was. Look for some signs. Ask for some signs from your guide, because it has something to do with the repeating of that day of the week as well. But Eric says it's not the actual numbers of the lottery, but it's about playing the lottery that you found, or the one that you match to, or that you would normally play.
That's good.
So
and we get to present, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait. So does that mean still play the lotto? Because I played those numbers. Or is that scenario all over? It will only apply back then.
It's not that those numbers wouldn't be good, but Eric's just saying don't get stuck on those numbers, because it's about the vibration.
Right.
It's vibrational. Just play.
Okay.
Just
thank you so much.
To let you know that you can win.
Ooh. I've been told that I will never win the lotto, so I'm good with that. All right, 907 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, this is doing good. This is Tara from Alaska.
Hi, Tara.
And I want to say thank you to everyone who's doing the show today. I really appreciate it. And it's such an awesome topic to talk about dreams. And I would like to ask Eric, what kind of message can I give to my boyfriend, Damon, because he still has all these strong using dreams of drugs and alcohol, and it just, he has nightmares, and it's really just disturbing him. And I was just wondering, is there a way that I can convey a message to him, or what is it that he needs to do, or what is the meaning behind it?
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Eric says that there's a lot of fear that's within him. So he says, think of it as that shadow part of ourselves. He says there's a lot of guilt wrapped up in that as well. And he needs to talk. He needs to express, because Eric says being able to express his fears, and he might even think like, well, I don't really have any conscious fears right now. But Eric says once he starts talking about it, there's emotion there. He's giving me a lot of energy in the throat, like something coming up.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of emotion there, because Eric says that this is coming to closure, like the ending of a cycle. And so a lot of these things will repeat, and they will come, like he was saying earlier, things will return and keep coming, whether it keeps coming as a sign in our life or keeps repeating itself in the dream. It's what the easiest way that we're going to notice it. So there's a little bit of self-exploration that would help him if he went and spoke to somebody or did some counseling.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That really helped a lot.
You're welcome. Good.
So I have a question about a person, Barbara L. L-A. I won't spell the whole name because I don't really have her permission, but I want to know if she has any blocks that would prevent scalar energy from being affected. And if she does have blocks, if we can get rid of those, like you and Helena, maybe.
Yes, Eric says that there are. And one of the blocks is actually coming from like generational belief. It's subconscious. So there's some ancestor energy in there to disconnect. But there's also deserving. And that's subconscious as well. Eric's also showing me like the blockages are in the mental field and in the sacral, and a little bit in the heart chakra as well.
Okay, what can we do? Can you help her?
Yes. She doesn't have any entities attached to her. or anything else like that. She doesn't have to do tandem healing, but if she wants to even just email either myself or Helena,
okay,
and have a scan done and just give her a little additional information, we can give her some things that she can do to help it flow.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Michelle. All right. I can't remember if I already did this person, but 515 area code, have we talked yet?
Hey, no. This is
okay, good. I just want to make sure I'm not skipping anybody. I almost skipped you. Sorry about that.
Oh,
hi.
No, great. Hi. How is everyone?
Everybody's doing
well,
good.
So I do have a dream question, and it's disturbing, and it happened the other night. Everything was kind of dark, bluish gray, and then this black thing came up and just screamed, and I woke straight up. And I thought, if this is a dark entity or evil or whatever, I just instantly went to Jesus and said, you know, protect me. Oh, my gosh.
So what is your first name and where are you calling from? Maybe,
oh,
I don't know. If
Lisa.
Lisa.
Lisa from Iowa.
From Iowa. Okay. So, Eric, what is it?
Eric's actually saying, now he does say that it is an energy. He's calling it, he's not calling it an interdimensional being or anything else like that, but he's calling it an energy, and it's a shadow energy. Can't hurt you. It wants to scare you. But what he's saying is this has to do with your spiritual awakening. This has to do with your growth because it's about empowerment. And it's something that, like, he's showing, this may repeat itself in a different way. So you may feel the presence, and it's not that something is lurking around you. Like, you don't have an attachment or anything else like
good.
That. This is about empowerment. And did you have some kind of a situation with somebody recently, like not necessarily an argument, but a difficult situation, even if it was very slight, because passed through something.
I had a service animal and I was discriminated against and they were pretty rude.
Oh, God.
Okay. That triggered. Yeah. But that was like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, that can happen.
Absolutely.
Because Eric's, like, it's energy, right? So it's been sticking around. And so it feeds off of negativity. So this is the type of energy that can pass through a, you know, uncomfortable situation, but it's come from somebody else. So it's come connected to you. And so when you start to feel like, you know, upset or angry or anything else like that, it's like it wants to stick around to hope you get a little bit more of that. But the truth of it is, Eric's like, why does that happen? Well, it happens for you to be able to understand your own power, for you to be able to understand that you have the power to be the master of your own energy.
Right.
And so Eric says, all you have to do, clean your space, command your space, tell it that it has no right to be around. You've already kicked it off,
good.
But he says it's still kind of hanging around. So be real clear. Get it out of there. He says nothing to be afraid of. Can't hurt you. He goes, think of it as somebody who's coming up to your door and keeps ringing your doorbell just to bug you.
Yeah.
That's all it can
do. Would Doreen change help as well?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, you just have to remember, and all of you guys out there, that you have absolute sovereignty over your own energy. You absolutely do. No one and nothing can access your energy without your express permission. Okay, that you just got to remember that. This is my energy. Get the F out.
And Eric says, and they know it. And once they know that you know, it's a game changer.
Exactly. Okay.
Got it. Okay.
So,
thank
back.
You.
I'm going to find out what happens.
Me too.
That thing
thank
butt.
You. I will. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. She got the power.
Oh, yeah.
She got the power. All right. 209 area code. 209 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
This is Stacy from California.
Hey, Stacy.
I'm so excited. I just ordered it.
Yes,
I'm excited about it.
I'm excited. I'll be working on it pretty soon.
I just wanted to know, like, I know that things are changing in my life. Like, thanks. Sorry, I'm getting water. things are changing in my life. Like, I really am starting to feel empowered. And when I do meditation now, and I focus on my healing, I get, I can't control my body movements. I get jerky motions and stuff. And it feels like, and then I have to, like, exhale. Like, I feel like I'm moving things around or moving energy, and it was really amazing last night, actually.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So what is that,
Eric? It was really...
So Eric just said that you have more of your higher self embodied into your physical body. So you're holding more of divine energy. And what he's actually saying is that you have a guide that's working with you, and that you are embodying more of that guide's energy. And so you'll start to experience, by continuing to work in this way, you'll start to experience a lot of interesting things. He says if you have anybody that you can practice with, where you can, that they would dedicate sitting with you so that you can go deep into a meditative state and allow yourself to keep going. He says that guide, with giving it permission, and this guide feels like an elder, like a very an older guide, very wise, and wants to speak. And so you have the ability to be able to trans-channel it.
Oh, wow. So maybe he's trying to get into your body so you can trans-channel this guide.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so
That's
cool.
So
can we get a name? And if you want to switch the name, I mean, I know they don't do names that much, but maybe he can just let us use the name.
Interestingly, it's a lance.
A lance.
Like A with a lance on it.
A lance. Cool. All right, Stacey, you got some more thing order orders.
Thank you. I will do.
Very exciting.
That is cool.
When I do her work, I'll get him to help to be part of the a honorary member of the Divine Team. Why not? Right?
Older with a big long beard.
Okay, good. Santa Claus. Just
yeah.
All right, 519 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi there, it's Christine calling from Ontario, Canada. I was just wondering if Eric would be able to get me a message from my son, Cameron. Cameron took his own life in July 20, and this is the second child I've lost, so I've buried two children in my 50 years of life. And so I was just wondering if I could get a message from Cameron.
Yeah. Okay. So Christine, Eric's just getting Cameron here for me. He's here. Did Cameron fish? Was he a fisher or like the outdoors?
Not necessarily a fisher, but did spend quite a bit of my parents had a farm, so he did lots of outdoor work.
He's showing me the outside. He's giving me a like outside, like I can see a river or a stream. Looks like a sunset. Like he's giving me a beautiful image.
It's his heaven he's created, probably. The afterlife he's created.
He wants to let you know that he's in peace.
Yeah.
The other thing he's just saying is, I don't think anybody understood what was going on with him, or that there was something, because he's showing like I'm like blindsided.
Mm.
I'm blindsided.
Right.
And you've talked to him through somebody before, because he says this isn't your first connection.
Yeah, I have connected with him through somebody I know that kind of like a friend that is a medium.
Okay.
Yes. 'Cause he's just acknowledging that he's had an opportunity to speak to you. And what he wants to say is that he's sorry for the way that this happened. He's also acknowledging a dog. as well?
His dog, Bo. There's quite a custody battle over his dog, Bo.
Okay.
So
what is
Bo was his baby, and his dad and I are no longer together, and Bo is at with his dad at his house, and I wanted to take his dog to my parents' farm and live there, but his dad is not allowing that.
So what does Cameron want? Cameron, what do you want?
Well, first of all, what he's saying is he understands, and he wants to tell you he understands the reason why both of you are holding on to the dog, because he says it's a piece of him.
Right.
Right.
So he's understanding that. What he would like to see happen is he says that he would like to see that you both could be able to work it out, but he understands, like sharing custody of the dog, if that's possible.
Right.
But he does say that the dog would enjoy being at the farm the most.
Right, right.
My
parents are retired and home.
Yeah, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, he says that's what the dog wants, and he says there can still be access. But he's putting a lot of compassion into it because he understands how painfully hard this is for you.
Of course.
His dad and for everyone else as well. He's acknowledging.
Yeah. Hope you can work it out.
Yeah.
His dad is the one that found him.
He's very sorry. He's very sorry.
Does he give a reason why? Does he give a reason why?
He's saying that he was triggered by something. But do you know if there was a relationship or something going on with somebody?
I'm not really sure. He didn't really open up a bit. I assumed he had some sort of, I know he had mental health. And I know that his former girlfriend and him were not getting along, but they had broken up quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's like a trigger. What he's saying is it really isn't one thing. Not really one thing. He's looking at it from a perspective of having a lot clearer understanding, because what he's saying is that this was, he's giving me the feeling, and I'm feeling it right now, where I'm very ungrounded. Like I do not feel comfortable in my body. I don't feel like I belong anywhere. And even though the logical mind is saying different, it's like he can't shut that voice up in his head. And something had triggered him. And there is an energy of like having somebody at his side, or compatibility, or not thinking he would find that again. But that's not all.
It's more complicated. It's probably more than we can cover in the remaining time we have. So you probably need to maybe book a session with Michelle or somebody.
Okay. Really. Okay, I really do.
Love you very much.
Yeah. All right, one last caller, 412 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, it's Sarah from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Sarah from Pittsburgh. We don't have much time.
Hi, okay, all right, real quick. You're going to be working with me, you said, tomorrow and the next day on the script.
Yes. Oh, my God. I've been working on that script. Oh, my God. It's a big one.
Yeah, I have an advanced colorectal cancer diagnosis. It's just spread into my bladder this week. And so I'm just wondering if there's any chance for me to not have this be my exit point. And then you wanted me to ask Eric about low-dose naltrexone and a couple of other of the dewormer meds.
Eric answers right away. It does not have to be your exit point. Absolutely. So that's why this is all happening right now. And he says, look at the synchronicities. Look at the synchronicities, and he wants you to look at how things are lining up for you, because they're going to line up in ways that are going to surprise you. So he says, expect the best.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Because the doctors are not giving me much hope.
Well, we'll give you hope. Yeah, they didn't give her hope. Yeah, exactly. All right, thank you guys. The next episode is ended, and we're going to run into the next show if we're not careful. So thank you guys. Thank you, Michelle, for this. And thank you, Eric. I love you all. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
Love you, everybody. Love you, Lisa.
Bye.